Well, hello, everybody. It is Dr. Martoni, and welcome to week two to the gluten-free challenge. I have to make a little bit of a confession, but I did it for a reason, and I'm going to let you know what that is. And that is that I haven't had gluten in quite a while, and I decided to see what happens, and I wanted to try to. I had a little bit of gluten this weekend, actually, for my daughter's birthday. My wife, they really, really loved these little Cinnabon things. Not the healthiest things in the world, but I smelt it, and I said, you know what? I want to see what happens. So I ate them, and later on that afternoon, my stomach was in knots. I had to go for a really hardcore, intense mountain bike ride just to relieve my stomach. So it was really, really not a good experience. And I'm going to let you know why that is. And I'm going to let you, know a few things tonight. So what I want to dive into is the reason why some people are going gluten-free and other people are going gluten-free for a different reason. So we have two reasons why people are doing this. Half of the people are doing it because they want to feel better. They've done it before. They like to start the new year off clean and cleanse. And then you have another group of people that are doing it for weight loss. And they're trying to lose weight. They're trying to shed some pounds. And as I mentioned to them, and we've done this, I look back at that was 7 years. Actually, we did in a smaller scale 8 years ago, but we've been doing this for 8 years. And inevitably, the way that it started out would be that I was trying to figure out the best way I could kind of cut some pounds, and I said, I want to pull myself off all the carbohydrates, I want to pull myself off all the breads and pastas, and then I went gluten free, and I would lose weight, and I kind of kept it at that. I called the gluten free challenge in the past a weight loss program that we start out the new year with. And going gluten-free specifically, some people are going to lose weight, but some people aren't going to. And what ends up happening is when you first go gluten-free, after the first week, you start to, fight the bloat. You start to fight. You have the cravings. You can get headaches. You can be more bloated. You can gain weight. Your taste buds are starting to change after the first week of taking yourself off of gluten. It becomes a little bit easier not to eat gluten, but that first week is usually not a good week because your body is trying to repair and heal. You have, and as we mentioned last week, the major issue so much isn't the gluten protein, but it's the glyphosate or the pesticides that are sprayed on the gluten, which are causing what's called leaky gut syndrome in our GI tract, which are inflammation and holes that are in our GI tract where when we eat food, which is becoming more toxic, those big proteins or the toxins can pass through these holes and get into our bloodstreams and cause the brain fog and the joint inflammation and things like that. So we have this huge sea of thought around gluten-free. And when you're going gluten-free, because everybody is gluten-free, and then some people say, oh, I'm not celiac, why do I even have to go gluten-free? And we talked about this last time, is that it's not so much the gluten, it's that glyphosate. So we're pulling ourselves off of that, and we're healing the GI tract. So the reason why I have people go gluten-free for 2 weeks, I have people go gluten-free for a month, but the reason why we implement what we're going to be implementing later next week, which is called the 14-day BeFit weight loss program, the reason why I wait 2 weeks and I want people to go gluten-free, there's a specific reason for that, and it is because when you pull yourselves off of gluten and that inflammation in that GI tract is settling down, and then by pulling yourself off of gluten, you also get less and less bloating in the overall body. After a couple weeks, you bloat a little bit more after the first week, but after the second week, you start to lose that bloating a little bit. And now as we move into the third and fourth week, that's really where you start to feel the benefit of being gluten-free. So now, if we take that benefit and we boost it with a program that speeds up your metabolism and that cuts fat cells, then at that point you'll get the maximum weight loss benefit from doing this program. So we go gluten-free for 2 weeks, and then the second 2 weeks, it's all about it's all about doing the shakes and having that one meal a day, which I'll explain a little bit more next week with people that are starting. So for those of you that are not doing the weight loss program, the second 2 weeks, I want you to eat a very specific way. Let me explain. So a lot of you are, let's say, whether we're doing this for the weight loss or we're doing this to feel better and just eat healthier, there's one important thing that I'm trying to get accomplished by pulling you off of gluten and then changing the way you eat. And what I mean by that is, just because something says a gluten-free food, something says gluten-free on it, Snickers is gluten-free, doesn't mean that it's a health food. Just because it says gluten-free doesn't mean it's a health food. But the other aspect of going gluten-free, I want you to now start to pull carbohydrates and sugars out of your diet. So when you're pulling gluten out, a lot of the things that we're eating and the sugars that we're getting are because of they're called empty carbohydrates. So like eating crackers and breads and pastas or even some processed foods. The more processed the food is, the more of an irritation and an issue your GI tract is going to have with it. So moving forward, I want us to start eating foods with less ingredients. So the way, hopefully a lot of you have listened to the talk, Nutrition 101, or there's another one on there called Why Food Labels Are Killing Us, and I talk about food, life, energy. So what that means is ultimately we get our energy from the sun. So what happens is if we eat food, and let's say it's a live apple from a tree, that apple ultimately got its energy from the sun, where the sun energy was transferred into chlorophyll through the leaf, and then it transferred its energy into the apple. Then you eat the apple, and you get a net positive energy. It's called life. There's no periodic table, or there's no nutritional food label that actually tells you how much life there is in a food. But there is something that's called Kirlian photography. If you take a picture of a food, you can see that it irradiates a glow when you take this type of photography on it. And the more life energy, the more energy or harnessed energy that food has, the more glow that's going to have. So you can Google that, and you can see that they've done Kirlian photography on, let's say, corn versus organic corn. And you can see the organic corn has more life energy in it. Or they've done cabbage versus cooked cabbage. And obviously the raw cabbage versus the cooked cabbage, the raw cabbage has more energy. So there are these types of foods that are called superfoods. They have a lot of life energy in them, or they have a lot of potential energy. So we want to start eating foods that are that have less ingredients in them, and that is the food itself. And what I mean is, when you eat salad, right? You have a salad that's lettuce. You're eating the lettuce. That is carrots. You're eating the carrots. Whatever you put in it, but you're eating the ingredients that are in there, and they're very raw, and they're unprocessed. When you're eating, let's say, a V8, well, it says it has cabbage in it, or it has, I'm just making it up, it has tomato juice in it, and it has all these other things in it, but it's processed. So drinking the V8 is not the same as eating a salad. One would think that it is, but it isn't, because what's happened that when you process the food, you start to break that down. So when you start to break down the life energy in the food. So when you start to eat food that has a lot more energy in it, or food that is a lot more raw, you're going to notice that you're going to start having more energy, in your metabolism in itself is going to speed up. So, and it's more cleansing. So whether you are doing this gluten-free challenge because you want to lose weight, your metabolism is going to speed up, or you're doing the gluten-free challenge because you want to cleanse, you will be able to cleanse because by eating that live food is very cleansing for the body. Chlorophyll is very cleansing for the body. So moving forward into the second week, first week I'm just giving you a chance to play around with it, pull some stuff out of your diet. Now the second week, we're going to start to, let's say, go from eating, let's say you had gluten-free pasta in the first week. I'd want you to transfer that gluten-free pasta in the second week to spaghetti pasta. And what spaghetti pasta is, or spaghetti squash, spaghetti, you can make pasta out of squash. And the squash is, you cook the squash and you pull it off. If nobody's ever tried it, it's actually really, really, really good. So instead of going with the pasta, which is still processed, you're going to go with the spaghetti squash, and which is less processed, and it's healthier for you. So I want you to start transferring the foods that you're eating to more raw foods into the second week. That's going to, then we're going to start pushing into the third week. I'm going to start talking about ketosis, and then the final week is putting yourself into ketosis and what that means going forward. Because whether you're trying to cleanse or you're trying to lose weight, putting your body into a state of ketosis does all of that. That's where I've been in for the last year. It is absolutely amazing. We're not going to go into ketosis now. It's not for the product. It's not for the topic of this conversation. We're going to talk about it more next week. But you know, that is kind of my ultimate end goal, is to get you to first pull yourself off of gluten, in the middle to start transferring, to start eating more live food. So, for instance, I temporary fast now, so I don't eat breakfast, which I know was, and I'm a nutritionist, I understand, the beginning, you know, it was always thought to eat breakfast. Breakfast was the best meal of the day. Start your morning off with a nice hearty carbohydrate, or fill yourself with some food to get your metabolism started. You know, it's quite the opposite. We're going to be talking about next week. But you want to start looking at live foods and removing some of the sugars from your diet. Now, when we talk about sugar, sugar is in everything. So an apple is sugar, a Snickers bar is sugar, eating bread is sugar. So we want to look at removing sugars also from our diet. So as we're eating live, and as we're eating our salads, and as we're eating our spaghetti squashes, or you can even have, I have eggs, I'm just eating less food that has a lot of ingredients, right? I'm cutting back my ingredients. Instead of shopping on the inside of the aisles at the grocery store, I'm eating foods on the outside of the aisles. So if you notice, all the processed stuff is on the inside of the aisles. All the unprocessed stuff at grocery stores are on the outside of the aisles. So start shopping on the perimeter of the grocery store. Stop making food that way. Limit yourself to eating salads. Limit yourself to you know, unprocessed foods. And if you have to snack, snack on almonds, seeds, legumes, or you can snack on avocados or you can make guacamole. You can also have some gluten-free chips with your guacamole, as long as a majority of your food is live. So let's put this to it. Let's say, and it can be live and cooked. I'm okay with that at this point. But let's say a majority of your food, let's go 70% of it is going to be live, and 30% of it at this point you can have, you know, a processed carbohydrate if you want. We'll start removing that next week as we start to go into more of this ketosis state. So wake up in the morning, instead of having cereal or something like that, have a gluten-free granola. Have some oatmeal if you want. If you want to start the day off with something, if you want, even in that oatmeal, you can have some. You can put a little bit of cream in there. I'm not pulling everybody off of dairy right now, so a little bit of heavy cream. Don't go with the low fat milk and the 1% milk. You want that fat or that healthy fat, and make sure if you're buying milk that it's grass fed cows. It's not just the hood. So you want to have that healthy fat in the morning. and then at this point, and then during lunch, have yourself a nice salad, something simple. Make sure the ingredients are light, and then at night you can end it with something, you know, something of low ingredients, like for instance, an egg. Or I usually have breakfast for dinner or breakfast for lunch. I like eating eggs, so I like to add those things in there somewhere. You can have meat, steak. You know, you can still eat food, but just make sure that you're eating. If you have a steak, you're eating a steak. And, you know, there's not a lot of processed stuff that's around it. You know, steak and string beans or something like that. Have your vegetable. Just keep the carbohydrates away. So we want to limit carbohydrates. We want to limit the carbohydrates. Start eating more live foods. That 70-30 ratio would be good. And want to just understand that just because it says gluten-free on the package – doesn't mean that it's a health food. So in week two, what should you expect? Week two, as always, we should be drinking a lot more water. I hope everybody is monitoring, you know, if you're losing weight or how much water you're having. But it's important to maintain your water intake, because also if you're doing this and you are losing weight, when you start to deplete those fat cells, we release toxins. A lot of the fat-soluble things live in our our fat cells, because they're fat soluble. So as you start losing weight and you start breaking down fat, you become more toxic. So that's why it's important to drink water and help flush those toxins through our system. I lost my train of thought. Gluten-free food, just because it says gluten-free doesn't mean it's a health food. And then life energy. Oh my God, what the heck was I just thinking? Oh, boy. Let me unmute the line. Anybody that could help me with my star 2 to help me with where I was going with this? Star 2 on your phone, and I will unmute the line, and you can help me. All right. No star 2s. Nobody wants to put themselves out there. That's right. No problem. Oh, there we go. All right. Okay, where was I going with this? What was I saying?
You were talking about the second week, what you can expect. You were saying drinking more water.
Oh, thank you so much, Dawn. Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much, Dawn. Okay, so the second week, the first week, what happens is, like I said, more bloating, some headaches, and, you know, we're starting to change your taste buds. The second week, when you start to think a lot less about those Hold on. Let me. Dawn, was your hand raised again, or did I just not unmute the?
I don't think you unmuted me. Can you hear me? Sorry.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Good. I'm going to mute you again. Okay.
Okay. That's what I mean. You didn't mute me. Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye. Okay. There we go. All right. Okay. Good. Perfect. All right. So the second week, what you can expect is you can expect that you're going to start to get less bloating in your GI tract. So your GI tract, you're going to start to notice that you know your stomach's going to start going down. You're going to have a little bit more energy, and you will start to lose a little bit of weight. And that weight is going to come from less bloating, and you're going to get less bloating through your entire body. So that's what you can expect for the second week, going gluten-free. And as you start to eat a lot more of this life energy, and you start to eat these foods, the other thing that you're going to notice is that your metabolism is going to start to speed up. When your metabolism speeds up, you're going to start to get a little bit more ravenous if you haven't already gone through this process. You just got to fight that. You got to just... When your body wants to eat, try not to eat. And if you're getting headaches because you think your blood sugar level's dropping too low, make sure you stabilize those with nuts, seeds, almonds, legumes, things like that. So it's going to be a start of getting your body into this ketotic state. But as your body starts to cut, as you start to cut carbohydrates and you start to bring live energy and foods into your diet, you're going to start to see changes in your body. And when we went on our last call, I'm going to start to go over my diet now, how I eat on a regular basis, except on Fridays and Saturdays. But it is such an uplifting experience when you're going gluten free, and when you're going gluten free, and you start to when you start to see that. You know, you have more energy, and when you wake up in the morning, you feel better. It just, you're clearer, your brain's clearer. And it's such a great experience. I'm so glad that all of you guys are doing this with us. And I do have a few questions that have come over on the question thing online. I do have some people with the hand raised again. So let me answer those. And if you do have any questions, which we're going to start to answer those right now, you can hit *2 on your phone, and that will tell me that your hand is raised. And once you hit *2 on your phone, I will unmute the line, and then just like I did with Dawn, then you can ask a question. But let me see here. There's a question coming through. I pull gluten out of my diet. That necessarily limited sugars and carbohydrates. My energy level has crashed. Even climbing the stairs in my house has been a challenge. I figured that ketosis would be that excess fat in my body. Energy, no such thing has happened. Completely frustrated. Okay. When you first start to pull gluten out of your diet and your body has been carbohydrate dependent for a long period of time, it can take 3 up to 4 weeks to start decreasing that process of leaky gut syndrome and getting your body into a healthier state of going into ketosis. Now, if you are in ketosis, the only way to tell that is to take a urine test or to take a blood test. And you're in ketosis, and Ken, this is going to be another talk for next week, but I will talk about it right now. But when you're in ketosis, you have to understand what being in ketosis means. Ketosis means that you are in maximum, your major energy source that your body is going after are your fat cells. So like I just said, if you're just doing this process, and if you're toxic, and Ken, we've talked about this before too, once you're into a state of ketosis, what's going to happen is your body is going to deplete the fat cells, and you're going to actually become more toxic because you're in ketosis if there's toxicity within your system. So that's something we should talk separately about, but I'll highlight that more. I'll highlight that more after when we start talking about going into ketosis, which is going to be our next call next week. Are there any calls? Let me see here. If you have a question and you want to unmute if you want me to unmute your line so you can ask the question, hit *2 on your phone, and that I will see that your hand is raised, and I will unmute the line. So strictly 37 days. Hold on. Nosing part. So, I'm going to refresh that. And, okay. Questions going once. Going twice. Okay. I have a question coming in. Yes. What would you like to ask?
Okay. Is there a better way to test for ketosis versus urine versus blood? Is there one product you suggest more than another?
Blood is the best way to test. I like the Precision glucose meter. You can get that online. You can get that at on Amazon. And then you have to order separately the ketone strips because when it's a pinprick. So what happens is you prick your finger, and then the ketone strip picks it up, and then you put it in a little machine. And in order to be in ketosis, your ketones need to be at 0.5 or above. Does that make sense, Dawn?
Okay, thank you. I just wasn't sure if there was a product you liked better. I product line. You said Precision Glucose Meter?
The Precision Glucose Meter, correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, thank you. That was a good question. And does anybody else have a question? Going once. Again, *2 on your phone to unmute the line. Going twice. And it looks like no more questions are coming in. I'm going to just check the webcast real quick. No more questions on the webcast. Thank you guys very much. Enjoy the night and continue to, let me see, I believe I answered this one. Yep, I'm all set. Okay, great. Have a good night, guys. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.